I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Hannah Gore, owner of On the Avenue Salon. She describes the growth along Austin Avenue since she opened 5 years ago, how the hair business has handled COVID, and her tips for aspiring entrepreneurs. But first, it's the Small Business Spotlight, presented by American Bank. Dry January is a common practice in which people abstain for a month from alcohol, drugs, or the other unhealthy substances they've battered their bodies with in the year prior. 2020 was a time unlike any other, so I've resolved to make 2021 the wettest, gooeyest, sweetest year yet. At Union Hall on Franklin Avenue, Around the World Bakery makes it easy on sugar seekers.
I have Nanaimo bars, I have cannolis, I have brigaderos, tiramisu, macarons, I have baklava.
Adeline Camarera is a 25-year-old graduate of the Culinary Arts Program at Texas State Technical College.
I loved it. It was definitely good. It was a good experience at TSTC.
After finishing school, Adeline felt the urge to sample global cuisine. She visited England, France, Spain, the Czech Republic, and Costa Rica, eating her way through the countries while plotting a return to Waco.
Coming back, I had that idea of wanting to open something. I had no idea what. I just always knew it had to be something travel related.
A customer at the counter interrupts our interview.
Get tiramisu to go.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think if I want to get him anything else.
A minute later, Adeline returns with her travel stories.
I knew this was what Waco needed. It's growing, so I know there's a lot of new things coming up, and I was excited to bring something different, something unique, where people could try different desserts without having to travel far away.
Around the World offers flavors from across the globe, including diet-friendly options for vegetarian, vegan, gluten-free, and keto folks seeking low-carb, high-fat power punches.
They've been tested by myself for over a year, and I have worked on them and revised them, changed them up, made them my own. So they're very unique, they're very different, very good. And I did keto most of 2019, so I use the right sugars, I use the right ingredients for them. So, and they're also gluten-free, so for anybody who's gluten-free, they're perfect for them too.
Another customer arrives at the counter, this one picking up a birthday cake topped with chocolate-covered strawberries dusted with gold leaf. The bakery is Adeline's international love letter to the community.
I created it with the mind of building bridges. So having understanding of other cultures, other foods, other styles, not just our own, because that's normally what, when you go to a bakery, that's normally what you get, especially if you're here. You don't get past your regular cupcakes, your regular cakes, cookies.
As her reputation grows, so do the numbers of foreigners flocking downtown for a taste of home. Nanaimo bars, a three-layer dessert consisting of graham crackers, vanilla custard icing, and chocolate, keep Canucks coming back for more.
It's always a little nerve-wracking knowing they know what it actually tastes like. So it's very exciting when they approve and they come up to me and they're like, this is so good. This is exactly what you get in Canada.
Due to the pandemic, Adeline's plans for the store were delayed multiple times. But it's an experience for which she's now exceedingly grateful.
I was doing a lot of pop-ups at White Elephant, at the East Side Market. I also did Waco Restaurant Week. I participated in so many pop-ups, so I got to meet so many awesome people who've helped me in this journey, which I feel like I couldn't have done if I would open right away. I'm kind of glad for that journey because I got to meet all those amazing people.
The Small Business Spotlight is presented by American Bank, with three locations in town, including an expanded branch at Franklin and 4th. I'm now joined in studio by Hannah Gore. Hannah is the owner of On the Avenue Salon and Blowout Bar on Austin Avenue. Welcome to Downtown Depot.
Thank you for having me today. I'm excited to be here.
Hannah, what is your Waco history?
My Waco history? Well, I moved here in 2010. I was a student at Baylor. I actually started as a fashion major, quickly switched my major to business, and decided to do the entrepreneurship program after, you know, researching a little bit more about the business school, and ended up finishing my degree and then decided I wanted to start a business. I've actually been a stylist since 2010 as well. I did a high school program for cosmetology and got my cosmetology license. And so I've been doing hair now for a little over 12 years, which makes me feel really old. But I decided I wanted to continue doing that. I worked at a salon all through college, and then I wanted to have my own business, and that's why I went to school. So decided to stay in Waco. This was 2014, because I graduated in May. And so it was kind of at the cusp of all of the Waco businesses and growth and all that. And I was excited because I could see it all happening. And I was like, I want to be part of that. So decided to get a location downtown, did some rebuilding and remodeling on our space. And I've now been operating the business for almost 6 years. It'll be 6 years next month. And that's pretty much my Waco history. I have some family members that live here in Waco. My parents are probably eventually going to move here. I grew up in Katy, but it's weird. I meet people and everybody thinks I'm from Waco. But I actually am not actually from here, but Waco's definitely home. So
I remember you were one of the first people that I met when I moved to Waco.
Yeah.
January 2015. Just walking downtown, I was living at the Praetorian building, and I was just seeing bit by bit some construction happen in
yeah.
this little space. I think maybe your dad was helping you build
yes.
it out, is that right?
My dad's a contractor, so he did our entire finish out. He wasn't the GC on the project because my owners of my building had their own, but he definitely did all of the finish out and all of the pretty stuff, as I say. When you walk in the space, you see it, and you're like, oh, this looks really cool. My dad did a lot of that, and we used a lot of refurbished materials and just kind of the essence of the building. I wanted to keep as much of like the integrity and the history of the space and not do too much covering up of that.
What is the history of that building? Do you know?
So it was actually vacant for like 40 years, something like that, like since the 70s. I know that before that, and this was after the economic depression in Waco after the tornado and everything. This was like 10 years later, but it was Princess Shoe Store was what operated in that building. And then I think, I don't know, my history might be totally wrong on this, but I know like during the 70s, they kind of tried to revamp downtown as like a walking mall mm-hmm. area, and it failed, didn't do so well. And then after that, like a lot of businesses in that area shut down, and that space actually sat vacant until I leased it. So I'm pretty sure that my owners of my building right now, the owner before that just kind of hung on to it for a while and never did anything with it, kind of how a lot of the businesses and spaces downtown sit right now.
Wow.
Still.
So this is the heart of Austin Avenue. This
yeah.
is 711 Austin
yeah.
Avenue. And mm-hmm. for the folks new to Waco, it's hard to even think of an Austin Avenue that isn't bustling.
Yeah.
But it was literally vacant for 4 decades.
Yes, it sat vacant for a very long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what was it about you or your concept that made you confident that you could take a building like this that had been sitting in disrepute for so long and could breathe life into it and have a successful operation?
Yeah, so when I saw the space, I loved like the brick walls. I loved how open it was, and it was a good square footage. And so I guess just going into it and knowing that I wanted to start a business, I had already started working on getting financing and figuring out how I was going to make it happen. I wrote a business plan my entire last semester while I was at Baylor, which definitely helped kind of give me a lot of foundation for starting the business. And so I guess just kind of taking that leap didn't feel too scary. I knew I had my dad to help me with it, which was awesome, like having my family to help. And I guess I just kind of had a vision for it. I just saw what it could look like. I have always loved like interior design and decoration and kind of, when I was in seventh grade, I wanted to be an architect. So like I kind of started like drawing out like what would the floor plan look like. And I had some help from another girl that helped me like figure all that out. And we just kind of created the plan. And then I just kind of had the vision in my head and was like, we're going to do this. It's going to work.
That artsy side of you, I would imagine, is what initially led you to the fashion at Baylor.
Yes. So I've always been very artistic, even when I was a kid. Loved to draw, like I said, I wanted to be an architect. So I used to like draw little floor plans and stuff of homes. I used to think that that's what I was going to do. And then, it just kind of grew. I eventually decided to do the cosmetology program at my high school and fell in love with it. I just picked it up really quickly, really enjoyed it, and just kind of went with it. And I've continued to really enjoy it and love it. I love that it's definitely something that kind of allows me to like express like my business side and my like nerdy I love spreadsheets side, but also like I can still be very artistic and enjoy that as well.
How much of the plan that you created your senior year as a business student ended up translating to your real business? Were you surprised at how accurate your projections had been as a kid?
Yes, actually it stayed very true to what I had originally planned to do. Obviously like some things change and go out the window, and definitely when you sit down and crunch numbers, that's very that to me was the biggest difference, was like figuring exactly how much money was going to actually come in from doing this and what the return on investment was going to be within a year, 2 years, 3 years. That's always going to be constantly changing just from advertisement and how Waco basically gets its word out there. And but as far as like the concept itself and the idea of it, it stayed pretty close. We are what I like to call like a hybrid salon and blowout bar. Blowout bars and dry bars are kind of a newer modern day take on getting a blowout.
And listeners can't see me, but I'm a bald man. And so I need a quick explainer. What is a blowout bar? What is a dry bar?
Yeah. So it's kind of the modern day take on, if you think back to like the 40s and 50s, women would go get their hair done at the salon once a week, and then they would put like a hairnet or like a scarf over
like
their hair.
To like a spaceman shield.
Exactly. And then they would wake up in the morning and just kind of refix it. And then they go back and they get their hair done again every once a week. So it's kind of a modern day twist on that, where we do it. We do like a styling like that, but instead of doing it with like rollers and sitting under a dryer and gossiping with the lady next to you, you all sit at like a bar together. And it literally looks like a bar setup, except for we have styling chairs. And we use blow dryers and round brushes, and we like really style out the hair. And the idea is that the style will last anywhere from like 2 to 3 days. Some women can push it a little bit longer depending on what their hair is like and like the texture of it. But for the most part, it usually lasts about 2 to 3 days. And it's just a quick kind of in and out, get your hair done, make it last for a couple days. And that's essentially what a blowout bar is. But it's a lot of fun too, because we also serve like wine and champagne and mimosas, and we kind of have like it's a more energetic area for sure.
And is that a relatively new thing
in the last couple of years? Yeah, in the last couple of years, it's definitely a concept that's taken off more. There are actual like just blowout bars. Like they don't do color, they don't do haircuts or anything like that. Those types of businesses thrive very well in like highly saturated metropolitan areas, financial districts, anything like that, like in Dallas, New York City, Los Angeles, like some of those bigger areas where they have like a high concentration. I really like the concept. I think it's awesome. But for my business, I knew I wasn't going to be able to start simply just a blowout bar in Waco. Like, unfortunately, we just don't have the demographic for it. Like, Waco's just not rich enough to spend that kind of money on luxury services. But I definitely think it's a direction that Waco is starting to go. But I did a lot of research on that while I was in school, and I kind of figured out that, just a blowout bar concept is not going to work. We're going to have to do other things to be able to make the business actually thrive and work. And I hate to say this, but I kind of was – my point got proven, because two other blow-up bars tried to open in Waco after we opened, and they both closed within a year. So – and I just knew it's just – we just don't have the people to spend that money on it. I mean, Waco's more family-oriented and definitely more kind of that middle class and students. And a lot of them are not going to spend money on just getting blowouts two or three times a week. So,
do you think that Waco is still in that place where it couldn't really afford to sustain other blowout bars?
At this time, from, I guess, from our clientele and the people that I talk to, we are definitely getting more and more of kind of those people that are business-minded, people that are investment-minded coming into the area. I don't know if they're necessarily living here yet, but I know that they're coming in and they're buying spaces and they're buying properties and they're thinking about businesses and providing jobs and stuff. But I definitely think Waco is still very middle class. But again, like, I don't mind it. I would consider myself to be a middle class person and very more family oriented, and I enjoy that.
We all have limited budgets in some way,
sure.
And you choose where to spend your money.
Exactly. Yep.
I don't need to spend money at the blowout bar.
Yep.
So I go to the wine shop,
yep.
or I go to guest family barbecue and buy expensive food.
Well, and a lot of it also has to do with time, too. A lot of the women that come to blowout bars, especially the ones in bigger areas, they're typically like working women who just don't have time. And they come in and they get it done. And they just want to be able to quick in and out because they've got work during the day and then some sort of meeting or engagement in the evening, and they just don't have time to go home and take all the time it takes to get themselves to look professional and polished.
In the way that David and Jonathan in 1 Samuel of the Scriptures were such close and united companions, so is the woman with her hairstylist.
And I love that comparison.
And I know this because my mother is the type who goes to the blowout bar
yep.
every single week.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Moore is literally one of my mom's best friends.
Yep.
He is her confidant. He was at weddings in my family.
Yep.
And I would imagine that you, having been in this chair for 5 years, have built some pretty incredible relationships with people
yeah.
in Waco.
I mean, honestly, even longer than that, because I've been doing hair in Waco now for almost 12 years. So I actually have clients that I've had since I was 18. And it's so funny because they've seen me kind of grow up. They saw me while I was in school and then starting the business. And then now there's still clients of mine that come in now. And it's really interesting because now I'm almost 30. And I'm like, I don't feel like that little 18-year-old coming to Waco, moving away anymore. I definitely feel like I've grown a lot as a person. I've grown into myself. I've been able to figure out what my priorities and where I want my life to go. And it's been really cool. So, but yeah, absolutely. As much as like the clients, like I'm their confidant and they tell me about a lot of things, I also tell them, I talk to them about a lot. And I trust a lot of my clients with just who I am as a person. And we've shared a lot over the years.
You're hearing from Hannah Gore. Hannah is the owner of On the Avenue Salon and Blowout Bar on Austin Avenue. And what you're talking about, you share with them, they share with you. This is basic communication 101 levels of disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
If I share something intimate with you, you're more likely to share something intimate with me. And we see this play out in multiple relationships, multiple types of businesses. But there's almost none in which it's easier to facilitate than being in the salon. They are here to get pampered,
yeah.
to sit down, and to do nothing but chit-chat.
Oh, yeah.
What makes, besides having stiff drinks and comfortable chairs, what makes a really good salon?
I definitely think experience. Clients want to, they want to feel comfortable. They want to feel heard. They want to feel like you're taking care of them. I definitely think that's what makes a huge difference for people, because at the end of the day, and I tell my hairdressers this all the time when I'm coaching them, is I'm like, listen, anybody can do a great haircut. What's going to make it different is how their experience was with you. I'm like, you are what makes it different. You are the stylist. You are, I guess, your own brand, your own version of a person that's going to connect with another person. Not only just give them a great style, but you're also going to connect with them. They're going to trust you. They're going to take what you're doing for them is going to make them feel good about themselves, and then they're going to be able to carry that on through the rest of their day or their next couple of weeks until they come see you again. So I think that's what makes a great stylist, and it's also what makes a good salon, because you have to have a team of people that are kind of like-minded in that way to be able to be truly successful and kind of create like a really nice culture where we really care about our clients and want to take care of people.
What's something new or exciting that's happening in the industry that 5 years ago when you were putting together your business plan didn't exist, but are there new techniques or technologies that salons and stylists are using?
Yeah, absolutely. I think just the I mean, wave of social media has made a huge difference in our industry. We are able to create online portfolios that clients can access from their phones, which are in their pockets. And you can connect with people and grow clientele in, I mean, a fraction of the time of what it used to take. I feel like when I first got in the industry, that was 10, 12 years ago, most of how you gained clients was word of mouth and referrals. That was huge. I mean, you wanted to make your client happy so that way they would refer somebody else. But now I could literally probably get a book of new clients in less than a week just from getting on social media, direct messaging, finding potential clients, letting them know about any specials we have, getting them to follow us, see our portfolio. If something that they see on our page they like or interests them, they're likely to comment, like it, message us about it. So it's insane how quickly stylists can grow a clientele and really get their career to take off so much faster than it used to. I feel like it used to take anywhere from 18 to 24 months to grow a clientele. Girls can do it now in 3 months. It's wow. Crazy. Yeah.
And you could even go into working at the salon having
no clientele.
Mm-hmm. And having no one, and you can build up a few thousand followers
easily
by posting good pictures.
Easily. Most of the girls that I've hired in the last couple of months are all very young. They're like anywhere from 19 to 21 out of school, and several of them have actually just moved to the area. They're brand new to Waco. So what's great about those type of employees and those type of stylists is they're super motivated and they're very excited and they want to get to work. They want to do hair. They want to meet new people. They want to grow their careers. And those are the kind of stylists that I'm always looking for to work with because they keep me motivated too because we all need that.
Whether it's for the stylists who are working at On the Avenue or for other folks who might be listening to this,
sure,
considering starting their own business, what are some basic like customer service communication tips or tricks that you would want to convey?
Yeah. So even though I have a business degree, I do have a business coach. And I have a specific to salon industry business coach, and she helps me with, I mean, just so many things. And she's really not that much older than me, but she's just been doing it a little bit longer that she's got a leg up on anything that I would have a question about. She's probably already experienced it. So having that person to go to be like, hey, I'm struggling with this, or hey, I can't seem to get this thing under control, or hey, this part of our budget is out of whack. Can you help me get this figured out? It's, to me, priceless having a business coach, just somebody kind of in your corner. When you're a business owner, sometimes, especially if you don't have like a partner or, I don't know, parents or somebody who backed you or something to help start the business, if it's not a family business, sometimes you can feel a little bit on your own with having to make decisions. So having a business coach or somebody to go to for those questions is amazing. Like, I would say between my business coach and my accountant, like, I can get almost all of my questions answered. So I definitely would say that's huge. If you also want to start a business, I would say definitely brush up on like HR stuff. I had to learn that very quickly when I started my business, is that I had no clue about HR restrictions. I mean, how you file your taxes, 1099s, W-2s, W-4s, like how to structure all of that. That was not something I really had studied enough to really understand. So I actually reached out to a HR specialist and like kind of took like a mini crash course with her just to learn stuff and know some of the rules and what to do, what not to do, and how to properly document things, all of that. So,
well, a block away from you, the folks at Startup Waco can offer those services for anyone in the community for free. So be sure that we are all entrepreneurial in Waco and utilizing the tools that we get there at Startup Waco.
Yeah.
When you think about the tastes of Wacoans and what they're looking for in a salon in 2021, I would imagine that COVID is changed it a little bit and changed some of the practices and the way that you operate. What has this pandemic done for you and your business?
To a certain extent, we closed down, obviously, when a bunch of stuff shut down here in Texas back in March, April. So we closed for 6.5 weeks, reopened as soon as we possibly could, as soon as we got the go-ahead. And, you know, I was very nervous when all that happened. I felt very just like, oh, my gosh, I've put over 5 years of work into this business and now I feel like I don't know what's going to happen. So I think it was just more like that little bit of fear of the unknown. But I knew, again, I had a business coach and I had other people like to talk to and kind of relate to on what to do, which I think my initial reaction was to just, you know, make sure that the financial stability of the company was solid. So got with my accountant, got with kind of all my people for that and my payroll people just to like secure, make sure like, okay, we're not going to crash and burn just because of this.
The only unforgivable sin is running out of money.
Right. And, you know, and that was something I remember telling my business coach that I remember saying, I'm not going to let this pandemic bankrupt me. Like, I put too much work into this. My whole life is in this. And so, yeah, just making sure the financial stability of the company was good to go.
But so what'd you change? Do you cut hours? Do you renegotiate your lease? Practically, how do you keep your boat afloat?
You know, I will say I'm very proud of myself for the last 5 years of being very, very disciplined in saving. So I did have a lot of savings. I knew like it wasn't going to totally like, unless this lasted for like a year or something, it wasn't going to like totally make things crazy. But I definitely was happy that I had savings and was okay with that. But I did sit down and look at our entire budget and was just like, what can I cut? So I definitely like pushed out like a lot of our bills, electrical bill. They were offering a lot of plans for that kind of stuff. Talked with my landlords. I told them, you know, if things start getting really tight and I'm starting to like panic or freak out about anything, I'll just let y'all know. But until then, I was like, I don't want to get behind on too much either. And so luckily for us, a lot of our expenses are completely driven on revenue. We're not going to purchase more product from unless we sell more services. I didn't have things that were going to lose their value as soon as we reopened. Like I know like a lot of restaurants struggled because obviously they had stuff going bad over a number of days and then their sales dropped, so they weren't even utilizing what they had in inventory. And so luckily for me, my inventory could just kind of sit there and not really lose. So I kind of joke, I say like for us it was just kind of a pause in time. And then luckily all of my employees, they're all true employees, so everybody was able to go collect unemployment in the meantime, so they were okay for the most part.
Last question before we head out, Hannah. You do have a unique position of being a young female entrepreneur mm-hmm. on the crown jewel of Waco, that 700 block of Austin Avenue.
Yeah.
What does it mean to you, and what do you want the Waco community to know about you and about your business and what you're trying to accomplish for the community?
I mean, obviously, my number one goal is to have an awesome salon, have a space where people can come in, they can feel comfortable, they can feel confident that they're going to get some quality services. We're not the cheapest, but we're not the most expensive either. I don't know. They can also learn a little bit about Waco and be kind of right in the heart. And I love being downtown. It's like one of my favorite things. I feel so connected to Waco simply because my business is downtown. And I want people to know that, like, I really do. I love the city, and I couldn't imagine living anywhere else. Sometimes I think about that, but then I'm like, no, Waco's home. So
Hannah Gore is the owner of On the Avenue Salon and Blowout Bar at 711 Austin Avenue. Hannah, thank you so much for sharing your story on Downtown Depot.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Thanks again to Hannah Gore, Adeline Camarera of Around the World Bakery, American Bank, and you for tuning in to episode 97 of Downtown Depot. Find me on Instagram and Facebook at Waco Business News for local updates in between episodes. And let's all be extra conscientious this January of supporting our local economy by shopping small. I'm your host, Austin Meek, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.